Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. It was 50 years ago, on February 9th, 1964, the Beatles made their first appearance on The Ed Sullivan Show, taking the country by storm. We'll set the mood for our conversation on the Beatles.
Now, yesterday and today, our theater's been jammed with newspapermen and hundreds of photographers from all over the nation, and these veterans agree with me that the city never has witnessed the excitement stirred by these youngsters from Liverpool who call themselves the Beatles. Now, tonight, you're going to twice be entertained by them. Right now, and again in the second half of our show, ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
Oh yeah, I tell you something, I think you'll understand. When I say that something,
literally, we're just screaming at them only with guitars. Everybody's screaming, and there's no harm in it.
I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
When we arrived, they're all just sort of hanging all over the airport. And, yeah, and thousands of pressmen and thousands of New York cops and things. And, I don't know, it's just ridiculous, you know, screaming, belting all over the place.
When you first, when your records first started coming over here, did you have any, did you wonder whether or not they would be successful as they were in England at the time?
We didn't think we stood a chance in Heath. We just didn't imagine it at all. We didn't even bother. We were just going, even when we came over to America the first time, we were only coming over to buy LPs.
Come on.
It means Beatles, doesn't it? You know, that's just a name. You know, like shoe.
Imagine shoe. The shoes. You see, we could have been called the Shoes for all you know.
We're shaking up, baby, now. Shaking up, baby. Twist and shout. Twist and shout. Come on, baby, now. Come on, baby. Come on, I'm working on out. Working on out.
All right, joining us in studio, Martin Sandler, author of How the Beatles Changed the World. A little later, we'll talk with Professor Glenn Gass, who teaches a Beatles music program at Indiana University. We should mention, Marty, your author, you've written over 95 books, won 5 Emmy Awards, nominated for 2 Pulitzer Prizes. And this is your latest work. This has to be the most fun.
It has been the most fun. It certainly has.
But you can just, I mean, doesn't it just bring you back to all that hysteria? So as the Beatles plane arrived on February 7th, there were thousands of teenagers at Kennedy Airport. And this surprised everybody, including the Beatles.
It certainly did. I mean, you know, what Ringo had said is, later what he said is, in America, they've got everything. What do they need us for? And then you had that wonderful clip when they said, you know, we didn't expect anything. We came over to buy LPs cheaper than we could be in England.
Oh, and they were saying, well, who's arriving? Is it a king, a queen, a president?
Right.
You know, everybody thought this was, you know, crazy. Who is this? And it turns out.
Yeah, and there was another thing going on, though, that the word got out to the radio stations. And for the first time in history, they were actually the radio stations. At least 2 of the radio stations were giving minute-by-minute progress of where the plane was.
Beatle time.
Beatle time. Exactly, Beatle time.
All right, so their first press conference at the airport with more than 200 reporters, all shouting questions. And as you say in the book, it became evident that they all had a really good sense of humor. They were entertaining.
That was so... The wit was incredible. There's a huge myth about the Beatles, like they're 4 factory workers, uneducated kids from Liverpool. They were highly educated, 2 of them at least, Paul and John. And they aside from their education and a sophistication, believe it or not, they had the most incredible sense of wit and of humor. And then, of course, that's what added to the whole package.
All right. So there's lots of rehearsals and lots of things going on. George almost didn't make the show.
George got sick, and they weren't sure that he was going to make the show at all. And he finally showed up at the final rehearsal and said he could do it, but there almost was a disaster.
Well, Ed said he would put on a wig. And
Ed Sullivan said, I'll put on a wig. And
you know, and Ed Sullivan, he's no dummy. In this agreement to have the Beatles on live that night, they also had to tape two performances to air at a later date.
Yeah, you know, when he first met them, he first heard about the Beatles because at Heathrow Airport, where he was just trying to get a plane to come home from a tour he had taken to look for talent, the Miss Universe went by, some of the world's top figures went by. Nobody was paying attention to him. There were these thousands and thousands of kids waiting for what? And when he was told it was, he said, well, who are these bugs? And mm-hmm. he called them the bugs forever. But, you know, you're right.
He knew. And so he told the audience of mostly screaming girls that they could scream all they wanted for the Beatles, but they had to be quiet for the other acts. Or he was going to call for a barber to trim their hair.
That's exactly. that's the other thing. For those of us old enough to remember that night, the thing that amazed me is how shocked we were by the length of their hair. Mm-hmm. Today we look at it, it's almost like a crew cut.
Right, you know?
But I titled the first chapter correctly. I titled it The Night That Changed in America, and it really did.
Well, yeah, I mean, 73 million viewers from 8 to 9 p.m. that Sunday night. Crime rates in many cities fell to an all-time low.
That's right.
It's amazing. And amazing, those screaming girls were quiet for the other acts.
That's right.
And I remember what, I don't remember what else was on that night until you reminded me in the book, but I do remember, I was at home, of course, I was a kid, so I was watching it on TV. But I thought it was interesting that one of the other acts that night was Davy Jones, not yet of the Monkees fame. Right. He was, because for his performance on Broadway, was it Oliver?
Yes, he was Oliver, sure. And another one of the acts was Frank Gorshin, who was one of the top comedians of the day and eventually become even more famous by playing the Riddler in the Batman series.
So the Beatles didn't realize what being on Ed Sullivan meant because they had done lots of TV in Britain. But Paul attributed their hair to much of that original attention, as you're saying. And there was even one, wasn't there somebody who thought, oh, it's a wig and I'll prove it. And as he's going by, he like yanked some of his hair out.
That's right.
But that haircut really was what captured everybody's imagination to begin with until then they heard the music.
That's right. Well, before they had come, there was actually... There were a lot of fifth Beatles, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. But the first one was Stu Sutcliffe. And Stu Sutcliffe played the guitar, and it was a fifth Beatle. And in Hamburg, where they really honed their act, he had a girlfriend who was a very famous photographer, actually. And she gave him a haircut. And the boys looked at it and said, maybe that'll go for us. And
we want that, too. We're talking with Martin Sandler. His new book is How the Beatles Changed the World. We'll talk more after a quick break.